In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. This is not just a conversation that Jesus has with these people on the road to Emmaus. It might well have been a married couple. You'll know the story, hopefully, well. If you don't know the story, and it's new to you, and increasingly we're finding that people are coming to church now, and because of the loss of Christianity from the country, people don't know the stories. They don't know the scripture. For those of us who've been here for a long time, we do know it. But if you don't know the stories, let me encourage you, whenever you come and you have the readings on Sunday, you take them home and they become part of you. So that it becomes real for you. This is not just a conversation that these folk have with Jesus. A remarkable conversation. It's much more than that. It's a conversion. A conversion. What is a conversion? Well, you get an indicator from our Acts reading. Peter said to the crowd, he says, repent. Conversion involves repentance. Saying sorry. If you haven't said sorry really yet to God, it's time to say sorry. Repentance is saying sorry, turning around, as this crowd did. Repent, says Peter. Repentance is baptism. Come into baptism when we are buried with Christ in our baptism. The life that we had before is now buried, and we come and we are raised to new life in Christ. Baptism. And then repentance is receiving of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our lives so that we can live the Christian story. You see, being a Christian is impossible. It's impossible for us to live up to the demands that God requires of us because we are frail and weak people. And the only way that we can do it is by the empowering of the Spirit in our life. And that's when we say in the Eucharist later, come Holy Spirit. Every single one of us needs to live by the Spirit daily. Come Holy Spirit into my life today. Because without you, what I want to live is impossible. If you struggle to be a Christian, that's the way it's intended. You need something other than yourself. You need the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So repentance, baptism, receiving of the Spirit, that's conversion. Now, during the course of this journey, these disciples go through a conversation to a conversion. First of all, they are converted in their head. Conversion needs a new way of thinking. They've completely misunderstood the mission of Jesus and why he'd come. And they move from ignorance to insight, from confusion to clarity, from information to understanding. They suddenly get it as to why he came. So for all of us here today, have we really been converted, first of all, in our mind and the way that we think? Or perhaps we just think like the world, really. We come to church, but when we go out, we just think like everybody else. Isn't it awful? Isn't it dreadful? What is the world coming through? We have no hope. These disciples, as they walked along, they said to Jesus, we had hoped. We had hoped he was the one to deliver Israel. We had hoped. So today, if you come to this place and you do not deep down have a hope within you. And actually, most of your life, maybe you just struggle from one despair to the next, one anxiety to the next. You might be taking medication for it. Nothing wrong with that, but you might just struggle generally with life to get it together. Like these disciples, we had hoped. There are people here today who have had significant loss. And I pray for you today that you will find hope in your situation. That you'll be healed as a result of being here. That somehow your thinking and your mind will be transformed. Conversion is about conversion of the mind. So I want to know, do you understand the Christian faith? Are you able to give a reason as to why you're a Christian? When people ask you and say, are you a Christian? Do you sort of hold back and you're reluctant because you're not really sure about what to say? You need a conversion of your mind. You need to understand your faith. You need to know what it is to think as a Christian. You need to renew your thinking. They needed a conversion of the mind. Wonderfully, the second thing to be a Christian is a conversion of your heart. A lot of people come to church. A lot of people have what I call is a cultural faith. You've been brought up in it. It's what you do. You do it out of routine. And in some ways, it's not a bad thing. I just show up. I'm not sure why I go sometimes, but I just show up. It's what I was brought up. My mum and dad brought me here. What you need to do is not just have an understanding of your mind, you also need to have an understanding of your heart. It needs to go deep. It needs to connect with your emotions. Wonderfully, they say later, didn't our hearts burn within us when he walked with us along the road and he talked with us and told us? Didn't our hearts burn? So I want to know today, does your faith really enliven you? Does it connect here with your heart? Or is it just all up here? Is it real for you? Why do you come to church? What happens when you go out of the door and you'll face the rest of the week? Is it real for you? Does it make your heart burn? When I was training and coming to ordination, you have to go through all sorts of selection. And I remember sitting in front of one of the selectors, and he said to me, he says, you know, does your heart burn for the Christian faith, Linda? Are you alive? Are you on fire? What sets you on fire? There's a sort of Christianity in England where just people show up. It's all up here, but it doesn't really connect here. They've ever really made it their own, and there's nothing personal about it. It's out of routine. It's a reflex. These people needed to be converted. They needed to accept it with their heart. Didn't our hearts burn within us as we walked along the road? Does your heart burn today for this faith that you've come to know? If it doesn't, let me ask you to pray this prayer. Lord, let my heart burn for this. So it becomes real for me, so that it becomes alive, so that it becomes daily, so that it's part of me from morning to evening. And I can have 10,000 reasons to sing your praise with burning hearts. Conversion of the head, of the heart, and then conversion of the hands. What do they do? What do? They don't stay at home. They turn around. That's a great symbol of, by the way, conversion. They turn around and they go back to the place that they came from. Another 7 miles. They return home with burning hearts to Jerusalem. And they say, we've seen the Lord. Their hands are converted. They're active people. So that means that if our conversion is real, we want to do something. We want to share something. We want to be active. We want to be out there. We don't want to just keep it to ourselves. We want to have hands that are converted as well as hearts. Conversion of the mind, conversion of the heart, conversion of the hands. When was the last time you realized that your hands can be healing hands to the people that you meet this week? Those handshakes could be acts of wonderful healing and deliverance. Those touches and embraces can be places where suddenly people find God because you've got healing hands, because your hands are converted as well as your heart and your head. It's all of you. The places that you go, the places you walk, the places that you touch, the people that you see, your work, wherever, can be places of glorious deliverance and healing and hope. We had hoped. And they turned around through a conversion of the mind and the heart and the hands. Wonderfully. The reason that they most encounter him was when his hands, when he breaks the bread. He breaks the bread and they see him. He breaks the bread. And sometimes our conversion never really comes about in heart and mind until we realize actually he wants to be with us in our breaking. He's with you in the breaking. So maybe you don't have much hope today because you are broken a little bit or much. Allow Jesus to be present with you as we receive the sacrament later in the breaking, in your breaking. Sometimes it's only when we come to the very end of our tether and we realize how vulnerable we are and how dependent we were and who knows, how are we going to cope? It's only when we come to that place, our breaking, that sometimes we really connect with our conversion and it goes from our head to our heart, to our hands. When people are converted and when it's real, the church grows. When it affects the head, the heart, and the hands, the church grows. So what happens in Acts? 3,000 people that day came to Jesus, became followers, were baptized, repented, receive the Spirit. One of the reasons the church perhaps in England isn't growing is because we need true repentance. We need a conversion and not just a conversation. We're all of us are converted through our head, our heart, and our hands. So today especially, we pray for those who mourn here. And as we reach out to one another in a few moments in the peace, in our brokenness, may we find our healing. Amen.
At the end of each prayer, I will say, Thy kingdom come. I would ask that your response be, Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. This coming month of May is going to be a little harder for all of us. For in that month of May, we will have Sue Nichols. We will have Esme Williams. We will have Patricia Wright, three people who worship in this church, who are known in this church, whom God has called home. May we treasure the memories, the good memories as well as the bad memories. May we treasure the time that they have been with us and we have held fellowship with them. Loving Father, into your hands we place these three people, Sue, Esme, Pat. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, that we may know you in the breaking of bread, in the breaking of day, in the breaking of hearts. Help us to know you are indeed risen, and that you are with us in the Holy Communion. May your church ever proclaim your presence, and know that you travel with us on the road along which we go. Teach us, Lord, to abide with you, that we may know you abide with us. We pray that your church will walk in the downcast, the seekers, and the troubles in heart, to help to reveal your love and your presence. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done.
We pray for all today who are traveling, for those who are leaving places of pain and sorrow, for those whose lives may be in danger, for all pilgrims and seekers, for refugees, for homeless people, for all who are traveling by land, sea or air, and for all who have the care of them. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We give thanks to you who have come to us. Make us aware of your presence in our homes. Help us to be aware of you as our hearts burn within us. Help us to see you, O Christ, in everyone we meet. We pray for the lonely, for all who feel rejected, for the outcasts of society. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Father, we offer to you today those with birthdays. We think of Martin Holloway, and I pause for you to think of others whom you know with birthdays. We think of the parish in which you, Father, have placed us, Alexander Avenue, Berriton Road, Bodmin Close, Brookside Close, Cannon Lane, Capthorpe Avenue, Capthorpe Court, Carlisle Close, Drake Court, Drake Road. We remember, Father, the families who live within those streets just called. Andy and Annie Dawson, Carlos de Souza, the Reverend Ann Dias, Dorothy Dowse. Again, a pause for the names which I have missed that you know. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We pray, Father, today for the brokenhearted. We remember those whose names we started by calling. And we add to that list the names of those who are remembered and are still treasured in the thoughts of their loved ones. Lawrence Price, Jean Murch, Herbert Gregoire, Celia Faulkner, Mary Brown, our usual pause. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We pray for all who have been killed by road accidents or other means, for all who have come to an untimely end. We pray for all who will protest as we journey on, and we share with the saints in your kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.